Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Hello, I'm Steve Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. Today, we're picking up a discussion that I had with Billy Hollowell, the author of the brand new book, The Armageddon Code. There's some research in it that I think will surprise you, so stay tuned, and we're going to talk to the author about the research he did on all the different beliefs about the end times.
Hi, everyone. This is Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network, and I want to speak to you on behalf of Evangel Christian Churches. And if you've ever had a desire to be trained, equipped, and credentialed as a chaplain, you may really want to listen to this message. It's probably now would be a great time to fulfill the call of God on your life. We're still early in the year. You can accomplish so much still in this year of 2016. Becoming a licensed minister will enable you to reach out to jail ministries, hospitals, nursing homes. Maybe you want to do street evangelism or teaching, traveling, going to across the world to minister. Women's Aglow would be good. Maybe even at anti-abortion facilities, counseling, traveling, whatever it is that you've got on your heart. There's no better place to be trained and equipped than Destiny School of Ministry Chaplaincy Training Institute. Let me say that again, the Destiny School of Ministry Chaplaincy Training Institute. They're going to offer you the opportunity to be trained and credentialed as a chaplain. It's always good to have official credentials. They have correspondence classes and extremely affordable tuition. They're licensed throughout the state of Michigan and fully accredited. You can call them now. They actually prefer you to call them. Their number is 586-773-6568. And one more time, 586-773-6568. The good thing about a podcast is you can back this up, listen to the phone number again. Their website is evangelchristianchurches.com. Check them out there or just call that number. One more time, 586-773-6568 for the chaplaincy training program. Get credentialed today. God bless you.
Welcome back. And Billy, let's pick up the discussion we had earlier about your book, The Armageddon Code. I know that this research you did was very extensive. Tell us about it and tell us some of the surprising things that came out of it.
Absolutely. You know, the most shocking thing to me in doing research for the book was trying to find, okay, well, where do pastors stand on all of this? Because there's a lot out there, you know, little anecdotal questions here and there about what the public believes and what Christians believe, but what faith leaders who are in the trenches teaching at churches every week and dealing with Revelation, obviously, what do they believe about all of these different sentiments and paradigms? So the first thing, you know, we went out and asked pastors through Lifeway Research. We had about 1,000 pastors that they surveyed. We asked them, and these were all Protestant preachers, about the rapture, what their views were on the rapture. And I think the sense that I had had just in talking with experts, because the experts also didn't have data, so they could only go based on what they believed about what they thought most pastors were thinking about the rapture. And in the end, it turned out that when we talk about the pre-tribulation rapture, about 36% of pastors embrace a pre-tribulation rapture, this notion that Christians will be brought up, they will meet Jesus in the sky, go to heaven, and basically be exempt from dealing with this seven-year tribulation period. That was fascinating to me because, you know, some will look at that and say, well, it's only 36%, but it was the largest percentage among pastors. You know, when you look at the numbers, the second biggest group were the pastors who said that the rapture is not to be taken literally, which is also very interesting, and that was 25% of pastors. So one in four pastors saying, look, the rapture is not meant to be taken literally. Now, it's hard, you know, you can only dig so far into some of this data. I think there's a lot more work to be done here, and I'm glad that we were the first ones to really look at this, because nothing, again, publicly has been put out on this, but and I would also mention that there are some other perspectives, a mid-tribulation view that Christians will be raptured in the middle of that seven-year tribulation period. About 4% of pastors believed that. And then 18%, let me not forget the post-tribulation, 18% believing in a post-tribulation rapture, which essentially, and a lot of people said this who I interviewed for the book, and I found it fascinating, that the rapture is one in the same with the second coming. This notion of Jesus calling Christians up in the clouds, they meet him and they return with him, all in one event rather than two separate events, a rapture and a second coming.
Why do you think this research had never been done before?
You know, as far as I know, a little bit of it had been done for a private survey and was never released. I don't know, because to me, and it might be that nobody thought to do it, nobody thought to go to pastors and say, well, what do you believe? But it's strange. It was one of the strangest things, just because you would assume that if we want to know what the public believes, we want to know what the pastors who teach them believe. So I don't know why, and nobody, even at the firms that tend to do this sort of research, they didn't really have any reason why either. I guess nobody had commissioned it. Nobody had been willing to pay for it or do it. But I'm assuming this might open the door for a little bit more of that research now, because if you want to understand what people are thinking in the pews, you got to understand what the pastors are believing.
Let's discuss the research a little bit. You mentioned it was only Protestants, but it was everyone from the Episcopalians on one end to what would be on the other end, maybe the Pentecostals, and of course the Charismatics are included there, and the Evangelicals and the different denominations. So how did you pick your study group? How many were surveyed? You know, tell us about the methodology.
Sure, yeah. It was a random sample based on church size. And Lifeway, there are really two polling firms that tend to do this sort of research, Barna and Lifeway. They're the two most trusted, and they do a great job when it comes to issues of faith. And so Lifeway randomly sampled based on church size, and it was 1,000 pastors. So you would imagine you've got a pretty good cross-section in there, and they are looking at this scientifically. You know, this isn't sort of like putting out a web poll and anybody can answer it. You know, they're strategically going after these groups to try to have enough subgroups. And you're talking about Baptists, as you mentioned, Lutherans, Methodists, Pentecostals, Presbyterians, and all of that, they were able to sort of parse that through and have a representative sample of pastors, which I find fascinating, because that's a whole science to how polling is done. You'll hear a lot of people say, oh, you know, polls can't be trusted, but if they're done well, they can be, and they did a great job on this research.
And when you say it was random, that would include liberals or people who would tend to be more liberals, as well as very conservative people, almost Bible thumpers, isn't that right?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You're going to have a huge cross-section in here because you have the mainline denominations and you have the non-denominational churches and you have Baptists. And so you're really crossing, you're looking all across the spectrum on this. And that's why, I mean, look, if you just took like Pentecostals, for instance, I said overall you had 36% saying that they believed in a pre-tribulation rapture, but 73% of Pentecostals, they were the most likely to embrace a pre-tribulation rapture. So there were differences within those groups, and that is fascinating. Clearly, not that you're a liberal if you reject the pre-tribulation rapture, because that wouldn't be accurate, but most liberal denominations tend to reject it, right? So it's just a fascinating ability to sort of look in at this discussion and assume, okay, well, that means fewer than 4 in 10 pastors are preaching on a pre-tribulation rapture in Protestant Christian churches in America. That is fascinating.
But when you have 25% that say don't take it literally, that would tend to be the people who also don't take other things literally in the Bible. Isn't that right?
It is. And one thing, and I don't want to disparage PCUSA, but there was a poll that they conducted, that the denomination conducted a few years back, and I don't have the exact number. It was at least 30% of the pastors in the denomination who were surveyed questioning the basic sentiments of Christianity, you know, whether Jesus was God's son. So there's a lot of, obviously we're living in strange times right now, and I think culturally there's a lot going on in churches. You have churches that are endorsing gay marriage. You have, obviously, the vast majority are still not, but you have these movements going on, and I think some of that impacts views on the end times and views on other issues, even the most basic sentiments of Christianity.
But, you know, if I could philosophize, these trends, these cycles have happened before in history. I mean, even the Great Awakening that we, you know, look back with a lot of respect, or at least I do, you know, Jonathan Edwards and so forth in the early colonies, in the early 1700s, you know, when you read about how many of the ministers, you know, weren't even really believers back then, you know, Jonathan Edwards was saying that a great awakening needed to happen. the liberalism of the early 20th century with the social gospel and so forth gave rise to Billy Graham and the evangelical movement, you know, that we got to know. So there are cycles, yet it does seem that as time passes, things become more liberal.
You know, I think the thing that, as a journalist and as somebody who looks, I look at media deeply and I try to understand what's going on, I think the difference, and this doesn't mean, I think that you're right, the cycle has always been there, and I think people do forget that. The one difference, and I don't know, this could be reversed, but we kind of are living in a time now where we're all zombies. You know, we're attached to our cell phones, we're attached to computers, and the messaging that's coming at us is so extreme, it's so rapid, it's so difficult to escape the messaging. I mean, you think about being a parent raising a kid nowadays, and what they're exposed to is rapidly different from what I was exposed to, you know, 17 years ago, 15 years ago, as a teenager growing up. And I think that sort of the media entertainment complex and the force through which messages are coming out sort of changes the dynamic a little bit. And that's a whole other discussion about, you know, Christian involvement in all of those areas to try to, you know, temper some of that. But we kind of have this structure of information that wasn't quite ever there before. And that's a whole new dynamic to contend with.
Well, maybe we can discuss that on another podcast because I'm fascinated with this kind of thing. You know, when I was in high school, which was long before the internet and long before the personal computer, people were saying we lived in a post-literate society. They were calling television the Great Wasteland, and we only had three channels. And, you know, they're the programs that we now see on TV land. You know, they seem so, I mean, things have, in my own lifetime, have accelerated so much, and we can only imagine that this acceleration is going to continue on and on and on, and somehow the gospel message has got to get out, and somehow we've got to understand the Word of God and how it relates to our lives, and we believe that, or at least I believe that somehow this is all kind of tied up with the question of end times. You mentioned Syria and all those things, but I'm suggesting that some of these other issues are also all kind of tied up in that. Did your book address some of these kinds of issues?
Absolutely. There's a chapter on Syria and looking at Isaiah and Jeremiah and this discussion about Damascus in the Bible, Damascus being a city in a heap of ruins. And you look at what's happening in Syria right now, and there's so many questions. And I think that's why, you know, you look back to 2013 when all of the issues in Syria and the Middle East were really ramping up, and you start to wonder what's going on there. And now you have the Islamic State, and they're rising up all around the world, obviously Middle East and Africa and other places as well. You have to think, huh, this is strange. And look, 1948, Israel, there's quite a bit in the book about that, the reemergence of Israel after 1900 years. If you're an atheist and you don't believe any of this and you don't believe the Bible, all of these events that are happening, it's oddly strange when you look back at Scripture and you look at what's happening now. I think you'd have to at least conclude specifically with Israel that, you know, something odd is happening here. I've never heard, you know, what other country is emerging after 1900 years and popping up back on the scene? Now, there's a lot of debate about Israel and what people believe about it, whether it's prophetic or not, whether it's tied back to Ezekiel or not, and the same goes for Syria and the issues there. But the key players here, Russia, Iran, Syria, these are all countries to watch, I think, as we look at what's happening in the world and we look back to Scripture and what's in prophecy.
And prophecy is often hard to understand, is often symbolic, using maybe terms and imagery that's not common to us today. But there is one prophecy that to me is just crystal clear, and it goes along with what you're saying about Israel, because the prophet said, "Can a nation be born in a day?" And Israel was born in a day, you know, the day they declared their independence. And it is a miracle that cannot be denied, just as you said.
Yeah, you look back to May 14th, 1948, and you look back to all of the events that came before that, too, because I think that's important. You know, this context of the Holocaust and the horrors of that, and this notion of people sort of flooding back to Israel. And what's happening now is you have, you know, every time there's an attack, I read stories after, and we cover stories after, of people, Jewish people who live in the country where that attack happens, saying, "I'm going back to Israel." And so you have this sort of move back, this flooding back. back into that country. And before 1948, I would imagine a lot of people thought that was all going to be symbolic or it had already come to pass. But when Israel's back on the map, that is a big flashing sign, according to many of the people who were interviewed in the Armageddon Code, is saying, okay, something's happening here. Now, there were also people who did not see a prophetic significance with modern-day Israel, and so that's an interesting dynamic as well. But for me personally, I find it very strange. You kind of have to look at it and be realistic and say, even if you don't believe, something is happening here that is at least strange. You have to at least conclude that.
Well, this is fascinating. I'd love to talk to you more. I hope my listeners are wanting more information, and there's a place you can get it. It's in the book, The Armageddon Code, which just released May 3rd. It's available wherever Christian books are sold. Of course, it's also available online at different websites like Amazon, ChristianBooks.com, and so forth. I encourage you to get a copy and read it, and hopefully you'll love it and share it with your friends. So thank you, Billy Hollowell, for writing the book, and thank you for being with me today on The Strang Report.
Thanks for having me.
Hi, everyone. This is Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. And if you've ever had a desire to be trained, equipped, and credentialed as a chaplain, there's no better place to be trained and equipped than Destiny School of Ministry Chaplaincy Training Institute. Their number is 586-773-6568. Get credentialed today. God bless you. Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.